The title for today's study is David and Goliath. The story of David and Goliath is fondly remembered by many Christians, right from when they were children. It is a great story showing how young David, who was only a shepherd boy, yet under the mighty hand and power of God, could overcome a giant like Goliath. We will read from 1 Samuel chapter 17 and read a few verses at a time, then pause to consider what lessons we can learn from this well-loved story. Let us read the first part of the story as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verses 1 to 11. Now the Philistines gathered their forces up for war and assembled at Succah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damin between Succah and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 foot tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you not come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. And if I overcome him and kill him, you will become one of our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. The Philistines had been enemies of Israel for many years, so here again they have come out to attack. And as we have just read, the Israelites were terrified. They were particularly terrified by the one warrior who was much bigger than any of the other soldiers. Goliath was a giant. But we're about to see how the Philistines would be defeated under God's mighty power. Down through the centuries, Israel has continued to be intimidated by the nations around them. We may ask, why has Israel been constantly taunted by the nations living around them? Why is there so much anti-Semitism in the world today? Satan is behind it. He knows his time is short when God is going to banish him to hell forever. If we were to spare a moment and discover what is happening today, we will see a build-up of opposing countries and kingdoms setting out their pitches to destroy Israel. We can read the prophecy given in Ezekiel 38, verses 14 to 23, and repeated in the last book of the Bible, Revelations chapter 20, verses 7 to 11. It is being acted out across the region today. Great armies are amassing on the northern borders of Israel. Ezekiel prophesied that the kingdom of the north would gather and fight Israel. They would fight the Israelites, but God would intervene. This is what Ezekiel prophesied, verse 14. "Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this is what the sovereign Lord says, in that day when my people Israel are living in safety, will you not take notice of it? You will come from your place in the far north, you and many northern nations with you, all of them riding on horses, a great horde, a mighty army. You will advance against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. In days to come, Gog, I will bring you against my land, so that nations may know me, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes." This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You are the one I spoke of in former days by my servant the prophets of Israel. At that time they prophesied for years that I would bring you against them. This is what will happen in that day. When Gog attacks the land of Israel, my holy anger will be aroused, declares the Sovereign Lord. In my zeal and fury, wrath, I declare that at that time there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the beasts of the field, every creature that moves along the ground, and all the people on the face of the earth will tremble at my presence. The mountains will be overturned, the cliffs will crumble, and every wall will fall on the ground. I will summon a sword against Gog on all my mountains, declares the Sovereign Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. I will execute judgment on him with plague and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstone and burning sulfur on him, and on his troops, and on the many nations with him. And so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Prime Minister Netanyahu, when addressing officials in America, recently said he was deeply concerned of all the build-up of countries around their land threatening and intimidating the land at this time. He said, "Darkness is descending on a region." If we study our Bible carefully, the end of this world is fast drawing to a close. We read how the nations will collect and make war with Israel, but God will intercede. We need to be prepared for any eventuality that may happen at any moment. Let's now introduce David into this story. We read in the next few verses, 1 Samuel 17, 12 to 23. Now, David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 older sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistines came forward every morning and every evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roast grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set off as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawn up, their lines facing each other. David left his things with a keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his line and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Before we look at this part of the story, let us pause for a moment and reflect on what had recently happened in David's life. Saul, who presently was king over the Israelites, had fallen out of favour with God. Because of late he had not sought God's guidance. So the prophet Samuel was sent by God to anoint David as the future king. God also spoke to Saul in 1 Samuel 13:14, saying, "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command." As a result, the Spirit of God left Saul, and he became very depressed at times. So Saul asked his servants to seek out someone who was a keen musician that could play for him. In 1 Samuel 16, we read that one of Saul's servants found David, who Saul liked very much, and he became Saul's armor-bearer. This would be the reason David would be visiting Saul, and in so doing discover the Philistines were about to fight the Israelites. So let us now continue the story in 1 Samuel 17, verses 24 to 30. When the Israelites saw the man, that is the giant, they all ran for him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will accept his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are, and how wicked your heart is. You come down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. Here we read David was in all innocence inquiring about this giant, and yet his brothers were so abusive to him. After all, as Saul's armor-bearer, David had every right to get involved with the situation. One can suggest David's brother knew David had a privileged position with Saul and could be jealous. So his eldest brother, by deriding him, saying, "I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." What was David saying to his brothers? "Leave me alone." I have experienced on more than one occasion the type of intimidation David experienced when he met Goliath. Each one of us as Christians have been given a particular gift and are called by God to a particular work. Just like David, we are privileged to serve God, and often we meet fellow Christians who behave in a similar manner as David's brothers did. David's brothers did not know the miraculous things that were about to take place in defeating Goliath, nor had they the knowledge that one day David would become king of Israel. We can meet fellow Christians who are not being led by the Holy Spirit. They use their own wisdom and understanding when a situation arises, and often will react in a negative way to what God is asking us to do. Do we have the same understanding as David had, to know that with God's help and guidance, we can do great exploits for him? Now let's read the next part of the story in 1 Samuel 17, 31 to 37. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight for him. You're only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. the Lord who delivered me from the power of the lion and the paws of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, Go, and the Lord be with you. What boldness David had. He stood out from the crowd. He was confident he could kill his giant, but it was not under his own strength, it was under God's strength. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, when Samuel anointed David as king, we read, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. His strength came from God. In addition, David had the experience of facing death and danger while keeping the sheep. He had proven God's protection. He did not need any help from his fellow men. When we become a child of God, we receive the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit. Like the disciples at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gives us an undaunting boldness and strength. How often we read of Christians like the Bishop of Baghdad living in a very hostile country, fearing for his own life, but they boldly live and trust in the Almighty God to protect them. I think of that well-known hymn, Fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your might. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. We can gain great encouragement from the last verse. Faint not, nor fear. His arms are near. He changes not, and you are dear. Only believe, and you will see that Christ is all in all to thee. Let's now see how David prepared himself to do battle with Goliath. We continue to read in 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 to 40. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armour on him, and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. David was Saul's armour bearer. David was now going to show that his boldness and strength was in God, and in contrast highlighted Saul's inadequacy and weakness, because Saul was no longer faithfully trusting his God. No, Saul offered David his armour. But Saul was head above everyone in height. The armour was much larger and very heavy. It did not fit. It was not designed for David. It would become a great hindrance to him. We will meet those in authority who will recognise what giftings God has given us. They will feel inadequate. So to compensate, they will offer generous help. They will have great resources to help us fulfil the gifts God has given us to do. On the surface, it will seem quite a generous offer. But sometimes, the bureaucracy of some Christian organisations, bureaucratic rules and regulations, varying levels of committee, can actually stifle and hinder your freedom to allow God to lead you and guide you in his divine way. David was now free under the hand of God to face his foe, by only taking with him a bag of stones and a sling. These weapons, though small and insignificant, which had a proven record to bringing down a lion and a bear. But we do need to be armoured with God's spiritual armour, as the Apostle Paul encourages to put on in Ephesians 6, verses 12 to 17. We read, For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice the various elements of the armour symbolising the type of clothing which we need in order to defend our faith. We need faith, symbolised by the shield, to enable us to withstand the subtle and intimidating taunts we will get as we live out our Christian life. We shall always be ready to go and serve Him, symbolised by the feet shod to share the gospel. We need to live a life of righteousness, symbolised by the breastplate and a belt of truth. Our minds need to be shielded from evil thought, symbolised by the helmet of salvation, and be ready to use God's word as a sword to counteract Satan's lies. Let us now see what happens when David faces Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, 41-51. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield-bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine armies to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord lives, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line and met him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran, stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with a sword. When the Philistines saw that this hero was dead, they turned and ran. From a human perspective, everything was against David. Goliath started to torment David by cursing him and intimidating him, trying to undermine David's boldness and ability. But David knew his strength was in his God. He was not going to be intimidated by Goliath's evil, taunting comments. In the days we live, we are meeting various societies who are extremely biased towards Christian faith and are becoming very brave in seeking to intimidate Christian groups with the hope of closing them down. The Apostle Paul made it clear what the church is up against. Satan's army is increasingly seeking out to make inroads into society, especially the Christian church. So let's repeat again what Paul says in Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the armour of God, the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. We also read in 1 Peter 5:8-9, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We also read in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. And again, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, we read, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Notice what the apostles say. Resist him, stand firm. David stood firm and resisted Goliath's tauntings. If you were to ask me what verse or phrase stands out in this story, it would be verse 48. What I find so exciting is what David did when Goliath taunted him. 1 Samuel 17, 48, we read, as the Philistine moved close to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle lines to meet him. Everyone around David, both the Israelites and Saul, were terrified of the giant, but David stood out from the crowd. In the years that followed, during the time when he reigned as king, David faced many life-threatening trials. But we do read, David trusted in his God. When the storms of life are raging around us and folk are disillusioned with what is happening, are we shrinking with doubt and fear? Or are we like David, having an inward strength and understanding that only God can give you the strength to face the position, knowing we are on God's side and we will win the battle? When going through trials and dangers, David's strength in the Lord gave him peace and contentment, which is borne out by what he wrote in Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Some years back, a new housing estate was being built in our local city. The Christian living in the estate felt led to buy a plot of land to build a church on it. The proposal at first to be offered to the council planning committee for planning permission, and the idea was also open to the residents to meet and give their agreement or objection. During the residents' meeting, great hostile broke out, telling the Christian they did not want a religious building in the estate. Like David and Goliath, I felt a deep excitement and boldness when I heard what was transpired. I knew in my heart, by the reaction of the residents, God was going to do great things on that estate. Today, there's a great, thriving, large church on that site. Praise the Lord. While giant Goliath was prepared to fight wearing a full set of armour, David had only his tunic, but he needed ammunition to fight back, consisting of just 5 smooth stones from the stream in his shepherd's bag and his sling in his hand. That stone David used was like the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, part of the spiritual armour, which we have just read about. Where is the word of God to be found in it? It is in the Bible. Like David, we keep his ammunition, the stones in his bag. As David prepared himself to take that stone and put it in that sling, then spin it around, he had to make a careful calculation and decision when to spin the sling and when to release the stone. When it is our opportunity to use the word of God in defence of the faith, we have to be careful how and when we use it. When David let go of the stone, it struck Goliath on the forehead, the seat of the mind. It is through the mind God's word penetrates our hearts, we read in Romans 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Let us put it another way. When we hear God's word spoken, it is first heard, then received through the mind, and in turn the word of God penetrates the heart. In response, we believe it, and by faith accept it, which transforms our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we become a new creation, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new recreation. I am challenged by a hymn which reads, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helper others' lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who, for him, will go?" Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the King's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure, for his truth unchanging makes the triumph sure. By thy grand redemption, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Saviour, we are thine. In closing, I wish to ask the question, what Goliaths or giants do you have in your life? We all have things going on in each of our lives, and at times they seem insurmountable. There are situations which we are unable to do anything about, although if it were possible we would seek to help and overcome them. We can only do what David did. He put his trust and strength in his God. By exercising his faith, he had and full assurance that God would give him the strength and the courage to see the situation through. I love the words of a song which reminds us of the victory Jesus won at Calvary, which you can hear on YouTube. It reads, "For this purpose Christ was revealed, to destroy all the works of the evil one. Christ in us has overcome. So with gladness we sing and welcome his kingdom in. Over sin he has conquered, hallelujah, he has conquered. Over death victorious, hallelujah, victorious. Over sickness he has triumphed, hallelujah, he has triumphed. Jesus reigns over all. In the name of Jesus we stand. By the power of his blood we can claim this ground. Satan has no authority here. Powers of darkness must flee, for Christ has the victory." Praise God. Amen.